Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, and being an American, being United Americans. Today is March 4th, 2013, and my name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight. And before we get started on anything else, I have to make a small announcement. It's actually a pretty big announcement. Today is my niece's birthday, and I promised her I was going to wish her a happy birthday on the show. So happy birthday, Brooke. She is 17 today. Apparently she's been partying a lot over the weekend and everything, so she's been having a good birthday celebration. And I told her that if I was able to get someone to volunteer to sing with me, I'd sing Happy Birthday on the air, but I wasn't going to do it alone. I don't think anybody wants to hear me singing alone. So we'll see how that plays out. If Ms. Texas joins us later, maybe the two of us will sing Happy Birthday. But once again, just to make sure I say that, let everybody know, Happy Birthday, Brooke. And this show, while you don't typically think too much about some of the political stuff at your age, believe it or not, the show is actually for you, trying to help with your future here in the good old USA. So have a happy and safe birthday, which you have. Keep celebrating for the week. On that note, we will get on to some of the other subjects. Tonight, there's so many things going on, as we all know, in this crazy environment that we're in right now, with all the everything they're doing to take away our rights, take away our guns, all this kind of stuff. It's, you know, trash the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. I decided to just dive in a little bit more and say, you know, what is this all about? And I said, okay, America, land of the free, or have we become the land of hypocrisy? America, land of the free or land of hypocrisy? And I think it's pretty obvious why I would say that. I just saw something today where Maryland has just passed an extreme gun law. You know, basically doing everything they can to take away the individual's rights to own guns. Extreme background checks, fingerprinting, no gun sales, you know, and things like this. Just, you know, doing everything they can to trash that Second Amendment, which they do not have the right to do at the state level. The state level does not have the right to deny the right of the people of the Second Amendment. But that's not to say they're not going to try it. And some of the things they said were really crazy, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. The other is this sequestration thing. I mean, the total nuttiness of what these people have done. And I think this is the ultimate example of hypocrisy, whatever you want to call what this government's doing with our money. They're being as reckless as they can and how they're tearing down, I refer to this person as the White House occupier. The White House occupier is a liar. Not nice to call people liars, but he's not telling the truth. The White House occupier is not telling the truth. And, you know, he was, in fact, part of the initial program, the initial bill. He came up with the idea. He signed the idea. And yet he tries to act like, oh, it wasn't him. It was everybody else. And, I mean, you know, the other part is like, you are the leader. You are the leader of this country. And all you do is divide people. How hypocritical is that? Especially when you promoted so much. It's not the red, it's not the blue, it's the red, white, and blue. It's we the people, we are the United States, you know. This is what you said in your campaign, and yet you do everything you can to divide this country and to take it down. And it was Ben Carson. The guy is great. I love listening to him. He's the voice of reason. Such a the fact that he's a no party affiliate obviously scores some big points with me because he's an American, not a political party nutcase kind of thing, sheeple. And he was out there talking about he was on Hannity last week, I guess, and And the question came up about why Obama's doing what he's doing and this and that. And he said something to the effect that, well, you know, he doesn't know how to be the president, really. And I'm not, this is not an exact quote. This is the gist of what he was saying. He was saying, you know, he's a community organizer. Community organizers go out there to divide people, to pin people against each other, to make them fight, you know, and take sides against each other. That's what a community organizer does, unfortunately, especially in Chicago. And that's where he was, and that's where the White House occupier was a community organizer. So he was a community organizer there. And so that's what he, that's what his experience is. His experience is dividing people. It's not bringing people together and coming up with solutions. So the truth is he just doesn't know how to be a president. He said, you know, that might work as a community organizer, but it doesn't work as a leader of a whole nation with many people. And that's what it is. And at the same time, when you think about our White House occupier, throughout this whole mess, what has he done to solve the issue? He's traveled the countryside. How many billions of dollars has he wasted driving, flying around when it wasn't necessary, when he should have been back doing his job at the office? But that wasn't important to him. It's more important to divide people. Somebody else said it over the weekend, and I believe it might have been Mitt Romney. He was on Fox News Sunday, who said it's all he's campaigning. He continues to campaign. That's all the guy does, really. He campaigns, and he's sacrificing the country for his political agenda. He's more worried about his political agenda, a political win, than he is about this country. And that's the truth. I mean, I totally agree with what Mitt Romney said. I totally agree with what Ben Carson said in reference to the White House occupier and the hypocrisy of what he's doing. Land of the free, land of hypocrisy. I think we have become the land of hypocrisy. And not strictly because of the White House occupier, but because of the others. Like, you know, with everything that's going on with the gun, Second Amendment, taking down our rights, you've got numerous GOP cowards who are caving in, who are trashing the Constitution, just like the White House occupier wants them to do. And this is Paul Ryan, Eric Cantor, even Tom Coburn. Can you imagine Tom Coburn doing that? And Scott Rigel, I think is his name. When I go back to the Maryland, there's an article on the Maryland gun laws, what they've done. I will reference some of the things there. But totally unbelievable. The so-called, the Republicans, I mean, they're rhinos, whatever you want to call them. These people are rhinos to do this. This is almost beyond the land of hypocrisy. The cowards and the rhinos. Paul Ryan. Remember, Paul Ryan was going to be vice president, which meant he had the chance, had he been elected. He stood second in line to be the president, and he is okay with taking down, supporting Maryland gun laws, supporting taking away many of our rights on guns. Totally despicable. Eric Cantor. I mean, these people, they claim to be conservatives, but they're not. They're hypocrites. They're cowards and hypocrites all rolled into one. And then Tom Coburn, that's the one that really gets me. If this turns out to be true, that he's out there playing games with this gun law stuff too, the Second Amendment, I definitely have to call his office. I'm definitely going to let him know that I think he's turning into another treasonous traitor too, while he pretends to be a conservative. If he does it, if that's true. The other thing that's been kind of interesting with this sequestration thing, you know, it's the... we're going to see what the Republican Party is going to do on this one. Now, Boehner, he was on something, Meet the Press, I guess it was, I don't know. It was on one of the Sunday shows. And he was out there saying that he was going to, Meet the Press, when Gregory there was asking him about the sequestration thing, who signed it, and he said, well, you guys haven't done anything. Well, of course, Boehner saying the House has passed two resolutions to do something to move the way the payments are cutting the bills, how to manage this sequestration thing. And it's the White House and the Senate who haven't done anything. And David Gregory, he tried to say something to calm down on it, and he said, that's not true. The Senate has done nothing. The Senate has not passed. If the president's got a plan, then why hasn't the Senate passed it? And that was good. I really liked hearing Boehner say that. For once, he actually was kind of standing up for what was right on this thing. And I think he's pretty much concerned if the Republicans don't, the Republican Party is even going to be more guaranteed its death for this next election. So that was kind of interesting. It was good to see him say that. I appreciated that. And then we also have Democrats out there, which this was true across the board when I was listening to the various talk shows on Sunday, that the Democrats were quite annoyed and frustrated with the way Obama was handling this thing too. Traveling around instead of bringing people together, instead of trying to unite the country, and including the two houses of Congress, to have something done or get something done, he's just playing politics. The president of the United States, the White House occupier, does not care about the future of this country. I saw something else out there, and if I can find it during the show, I'll read it to you, about how he seems to have some plan, because he wants to be king. There can be no doubt. Anybody that's paying any attention knows he wants to be the king, King Obama. And he's out there warning, who are making plans, trying to rewrite the law so that he can have a third term. I mean, this is what's going on out there. Strictly what I was reading through some email and some news on the Internet. And if I can find it, I'll try to bring that up, and we'll talk about that some too. But can you imagine? He's setting the stage to go out there, beefing up the military on the homeland, releasing illegal immigrants. Of course, he doesn't know anything about it, but it just happened. But he's the commander-in-chief, but he's not responsible. And then he wants to have a third term while he flies about the countryside campaigning about how wonderful he is, not doing any of his job. And what are the American people doing? What are the American people doing about it? And that's where it comes down to this topic again. America, the land of the free or land of hypocrisy? And I'll go down through some of my questions and things of how I'm seeing it as we talk tonight. But, and the question is, is America still the land of the free, home of the brave, or has America become the land of hypocrisy? So when you think of America, what do you think of? And I'll tell you, I have some very, very mixed emotions of what I see across this country. People that are in public office specifically, the White House occupier, and then the people who are elected to public office, and then, of course, the process and how they get there. So the other question is, what does America represent to you? As an American, or as a visitor, or as an illegal, what does America represent to you? What it represents to me is we have the most free society there's ever been, and we're squandering it because people are selfish and hypocritical. Too many. Not everybody, but too many. And then the other question is, how do you want the world to see America? Oh, I want the world to see America for what we were founded as. The land of the free, home of the brave, a place where you have the right to do your any choice of your own religion, provided you do not interfere with the rights of someone else. And that right to religion, that's where the Sharia thing comes in. Because you might believe be a Muslim who may believe in honor killings or whatever, killing another person is never acceptable in this country. That's not the way it is. And if Americans are going to allow this country to be converted over to Sharia, then we've already fallen too. So again, what does America represent to you? What does it mean? What do you see? How do you want the world to see America? And why do people want to come here? We come here because there's more freedom here than they've ever had any place else. So why do these people who come here, legally and illegally, want to try and change it? Change it to their culture. Well, wait a minute. Why did you leave? If you liked Cuba so much, why are you here? Go back to Cuba. If you like Iraq so much, why are you here? Go back to Iraq. you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And then, again, on my side, the reality of America in 2013, I see many, many true American patriots out there who strongly believe in America and who honor America. And we're out there doing what we can to fight and save this country. And these same people, many, many true American patriots willing to sacrifice in order to save America. Sacrifice doesn't mean going out there killing people. That isn't what I'm saying. Sacrifice means what it's going to take to get this budget under control, because we are all going to pay a price for it. We will all suffer for what they have done, how reckless they have been with our money. But if we want to save this country, we all have to sacrifice. We all have to do more within a community and get the government out of the welfare business, get them out of the nanny state. And we have to assume responsibility for ourselves and our communities. We need to take care of ourselves, not depending on this government, especially with everything that's going on with the sequestration stuff. And then at the same time, I see these many elected tyrants out there whose whole goal is to destroy this country, to destroy America, including the White House occupier. They don't believe in what this country stands for. And because we've been such an open and free society, these people have been allowed to come in and invade this country. The anti-Americans that are here, there's a lot. And many of them have made it to public office because they knew how to lie. They knew how to gain the trust of the public. They had the communication skills. And the American people, being trusting and decent, have gone along with it. Of course, too many Americans don't use their own brain for their decision. They follow a party line, thinking this association is watching out for them. The party line is not watching out for you either. They are also one of the evildoers, the tyrants of the society. And then we see the decline of the American values. We see that all over the place. Excuse me. And it goes back to what the founder said, Adams and Washington, very much said you have to have a moral society for a free society to work. If you have no moral values, you have no decency, you can't be a free society. Everybody will be killing everybody and taking and stealing and doing whatever they want to do because they have no values. And that's where we are. We're getting to that point. There's still, again, many decent Americans out here, including myself. I don't do that. But the evil actions of so many Americans, the evil actions of so many elected to public office, is disgusting. And that's, I see the American culture that has been taken over by evil and hypocrisy. And towards the end, I'll talk about the hope for America in 2013. And do I see hope? And the answer is yes. And we'll talk about that at that point. Let me see if I can get Mr. Klein involved here. Because I do believe we still have hope, but we have to do something now. We can't wait any longer, especially what's going on with these gun laws. Here, Maryland's totally trashing it, and the so-called conservatives, GOPers, who are going along with it. You just have to wonder, what constitution is the Republican Party reading? Because they're not reading the same one I am. They're definitely not reading the same one. On that note, let's get Mr. Klein in here. Get this line open. Hey, Charlie. Well,
how are you
doing?
How's
it going today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It seems to me like they've got the president for lying to the people regarding the sequester.
Yeah.
Also his staff, the White House staff, lying to the people about the sequester. Now, remember, Richard Nixon had to resign because he lied to the people. I'm waiting to see the Democrats and Republicans and the media bring charges against President Barack Obama for lying to the citizens, for scaring the citizens, and for costing the citizens money. Now, this is for everybody. It is your country, and they are taking it away. All of this talk in Washington doesn't mean a thing if they don't take action. When the President of the United States lies to the people, He is violating his fiduciary duty. This country was designed with total honesty. 56 founding fathers, 52 devout Christians doing God's work. The other four agreeing with them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not one thing dishonest about our Constitution. It was there to design to protect we the people. President Barack Obama is violating that document along with many members of Congress and your state legislatures and your local. But when a president of the United States lies to the people to try to get his way, he is violating his fiduciary duty to the people to be honest and to give them the truth. The fact that Benghazi has not been settled yet, and there's not the questions have not been answered, is proof that the White House is covering up its own wrongs. Where was President Barack Obama when Benghazi was being attacked? Where was Homeland Security when Benghazi was being attacked? And what is it about Homeland Security buying tanks? What is it about Janet Napolitano buying tanks that are designed? They are not heavy-duty tanks, but they're more like, how would you say, crowd-control tanks that you see in the movies and that type of thing. Why is it that they're buying so many of them? Why is it that it's hard for people to get bullets for their guns? Is this a way that Obama is trying to violate the Constitution and Article 2? Amendment number 2, the gun control amendment, the gun authorization amendment. We the people have a right to guns so that we can develop our own militia to go against the corrupt tyrants in our government or any government. So, is this where the Democrat and Republican parties have gotten together to circumvent the Constitution and the amendments that protect are designed to protect the people, the true government of America? Better start thinking about it, because you're the ones who are going to suffer, not me. I look at being here anywhere from now until maybe I'm 85 to 90 if I get another defibrillator. But let me tell you, if you don't wake up, you may not have a country. You may be like communist Russia. Breadlines. There'll be no Publix, no Winn-Dixie. No, you'll be going into a store and you'll be going there on a daily basis. It'll be almost like rationing during World War II. If they have enough beef, you'll get some. But you're going to be working 12 hours a day for the good of the Politburo, which is Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a lying, corrupt representative government, and you put them in office. And you were too ignorant to believe that they would be this way. But right now, if you were to take a look at President Bush's cabinet, when he had his cabinet meetings, you would see about 10 or 12 people in the room, including the media. I just saw a picture with President Obama. There must have been 30 people in the room. He is surrounding himself with incompetence so that if something goes wrong, he can blame them. That way he is never at fault. He's a narcissist. He cannot stand to be blamed for anything. He will not accept the blame for anything. The high note on today's talks on Fox News, Obama is backpedaling on the sequester, on his lies. He has mud on his feet that he's not going to be able to shake off. But the thing is who's going to take action against him? Now, Sally, is Grandma on yet?
Yep, she is out there.
Okay, I've got something for Grandma Taft. It all has to do with Texas.
And we should correct it just so everybody knows, is damn mad granny theft.
Damn mad granny theft. Well, this is going to make her even mad, but it should give her some, how would you say, some fuel for the fire. You know that situation down there where they were, the children were wearing the burqas and they were studying Muslim or Islam?
Right.
But they couldn't study Christianity?
Right.
Well, the state of Florida does not, we can't do nothing from the state of Florida because we don't have a the same problem as Texas developed for themselves in regards to this giving, how would you say, college benefits to illegal aliens. You just heard about that, right?
Mm-hmm. College benefits, of course, releasing all the illegals.
No. If an illegal alien is here in the state of Texas, they get to go to college at a reduced rate or at no charge.
Yeah, that was Rick Perry.
Rick Perry. Oh, no, not just Rick Perry. That was also the legislators of Texas. He can't
right,
make a law.
Rick Perry was pushing it. Rick Perry was pushing
Rick
it.
Rick Perry pushed it, and the legislators approved it.
Right.
But anyway, it's there, right?
Right.
All right. A United States citizen doesn't get the same thing. If somebody from California wants to go to Texas, they don't get any assistance like an illegal alien does. A citizen of the United States of America in the state of Texas who wants to go to college to Texas A&M or something does not get the same assistance as somebody who has jumped the fence and is here illegally. Now, you and I can't do anything from Florida. But in the state of Texas, they can file a class action lawsuit by getting enough students who have had to pay the regular fees to go after the state of Texas for what? Discrimination, prejudice, violating their rights under the Constitution, fiduciary violations. There's all kinds of things that these students and their parents can go after them. Now, there's probably students in the state of Texas who need assistance, citizens. Are they getting it? I think it's something that Granny should really take a look at, because I believe a class action lawsuit against the legislature and against the governor for giving taxpayers' dollars to illegal aliens is unconstitutional. They are not citizens of the United States of America. There's a lot of violations that our elected officials are doing because they don't read the thing and because they think they're being fair to other people. But they're doing it at the expense of the taxpayers. You allow the illegal aliens to get free education. Who does it cost? The taxpayers. Because everything in this country costs the taxpayers money. The courts cost the taxpayers. The legislatures cost the taxpayers. The schools cost the taxpayers. There's not anything in this country that doesn't cost the taxpayers money. It is all owned and paid for by the taxpayers. We put people into office because of their promise to work for the good of the American people. But in this case, Perry is working for the good of foreigners. So I hope Granny can go ahead and take a look at this, because I'll tell you what, it's time to take action. And sending mail, calling, and all that is not going to work. It's time for class action lawsuits. I got my television set fixed because of a class action lawsuit, and they did a beautiful job fixing it. But I would never have done that. I would have gone out and bought a new set. But somebody was smart enough to go ahead and find out that there were a lot of problems with it, and the company fixed it good. I highly recommend Samsung because they did the right thing. But I'm just saying, now it's time for people to do the right thing for this great country, and that is go after those who are violating the laws of the land and the Constitution of the United States, and they are violating their fiduciary duty, which is to uphold it, not hold it up. But I'll tell you what, Sally, you and I and Terry tried, and we had no standing. Well, you have standing when you get enough numbers to file a class action suit. And the standing means you have to lose money. Well, it looks like we have to prove that we're going to lose money down the road to have standing. Because I'm beginning to believe that there are certain appointed judges who are there to protect the elected officials and not this country. That's the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has really opened the door to this suspicion. Okay, back to you. Oh, one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
On Good Friday morning, I am going to lower my flag to half staff in honor of the greatest person who ever set foot on earth, Jesus, who died for my sins and the sins of the world. And I'm going to leave it at half staff through Saturday, and I'm going to raise it to the top on Sunday in his honor. He died for me, and he deserves all the recognition he can get. And I believe there's millions and millions and billions of people across this world who should do the same thing. I wanted to get that out there. Fly your flag at half staff on Friday, Good Friday, all the way till Sunday morning, and then raise it to the top. And I plan on doing that every year. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that's kind of a neat idea to do something like that to honor the Savior, Jesus.
That's right.
Christ, and to give respect and think of what type of country we are, what our values are.
That's right. Well, you know, we do it for a lot of other people. They did it for the children in the massacre in Newton. They did it for 9/11. I believe they did it for Fort Hood. And, you know, they do it for the those who died for this country, our military. Jesus died for the world. And I really believe it's time that we did it. I never heard about it being done anywhere. I never thought about it until I got that nice message. And I believe it came from God to fly the flag at half staff. And that's what I'm going to do, because I was praying for something like that.
Well, I think it's a neat idea. I mean, show respect to Jesus just like we show respect for others who have died before us.
That's right. And in fact, we've even shown respect for some people who do not deserve the dignitary status anymore because they stole from the people, certain members of Congress and the like.
Right, exactly. Again, that's kind of the theme of tonight's show, you know, the hypocrisy. What America is supposed to be, what we believe it should be, what we, patriots like us, what we think it is, and then compare to what some have done.
Now give the definition of hypocrisy to the people who may not know the definition of hypocrisy.
Well, I think most people listening to this do know what hypocrisy means, but it's pretty simple. You say one thing and you do another.
That's right. In other words, you talk like a forked tongue.
Yeah.
In this case, hypocrisy, both sides of the tongue are crooked.
And we've got way too much hypocrisy, very little honesty and decency in Washington, D.C., or in any public office.
And our Constitution, again, was designed for an honest and moral government. An honest and moral government brings about an honest and moral population, citizenry. We are losing that all. And I blame the Supreme Court 5 for the downfall of our moral standards in America in regards to knocking out prayer in school. And that is another thing. The burqas in school are a violation of the separation of church and state that the ACLU so vehemently fought. They were so much on Christians, getting them out of the schools and off of government property. But here they allow burqas, which is a religious thing for the Muslims, to be, and they have done nothing about it. The ACLU, I hereby accuse of being prejudicial, discriminatory in their actions, and therefore they are in violation of the Constitution of the United States. We should sue them for everything that they have because of all the problems that they have caused this great country in regards to lawsuits against these small towns and everything, and small school districts. When somebody, when a kid wore a, or a teacher wore a religious blouse to school, or had her cross on the desk or something, or a Bible on the desk, they kept threatening with lawsuits. Well, now, where's the threat against the Muslim religion? They claim it's a religion. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's, okay,
well, once
so
again, we trash Americans and protect everybody else here on in America.
Right. Well, you know, in Texas now with that burqa thing, somebody should file a lawsuit against the ACLU for failure to go after the Muslim religion.
Well,
and bring them up on charges about it, and on that say, okay, we want all the rights of the Christians and Jews to be restored to them immediately. Because the ACLU and Congress and the Supreme Court failed to take action again in regards to the Muslim situation in Texas. I think that would be I think that's doable anywhere. We just need somebody who's got the know-how and the patriotism to do it. Because that definitely is a case that should be brought up, because I believe there's also foot baths in some schools. If it's a Muslim school, you can't do anything about it because it's a private school. But if it's a public school, and I don't care if it's one incident, it's one incident that the ACLU has failed to take action on. Therefore, the ACLU has, violated the constitutional rights of the people, the fiduciary rights of, they have violated, and our legislators have violated their fiduciary rights to make sure that we are all treated equally, and the courts have violated their fiduciary duty to make sure that the Christian religion, Jewish religion, and all other religions are all treated equally.
Well, looks like
in the face of the Muslims.
Looks like Damn Mad Granny Taff wants to get in on that. So hold on, because I have a feeling she may be wanting to tell you something. She was
good.
Putting some stuff out in the chat room. So don't go on mute just yet.
No, I won't.
Hey, Mills, Texas.
Hi, y'all.
Hi there. Did I ruffle some feathers?
Oh, no, you just reminded me of some more ruffled feathers. I had calmed down a little bit.
I restored them, right?
Yeah, you restored them.
So that's good.
Restored
ruffled
feathers.
That's my whole intention there, Granny.
I heard that in your voice. I started year before last, I went to Houston to a, I'm brain dead today. I've been up since 4:30, so bear with me. I went to Houston and heard that woman talk that is out there trying to teach people about Islam and the jihad and all that. I can't think of her name. But anyway, an argument came up that how can they be teaching the Islamic religion in our schools? And there's this man named Kerr. His last name is Kerr, C-A-I-R-E. And he is going around perpetuating to the schools and so forth and talking to and into the states and talking to the legislators and everything, and presenting to them that what they want to present in the schools is not their religion, is to teach the children the understanding of the laws of the Quran. That they are teaching the laws, not the religion. And that's how they're getting away with it.
What a bunch of stuff.
Exactly. But
you never get away with that if you're talking any kind of Christian law.
No, and that's exactly right. But they go in and they put this load of crap. And you, I have to ask myself, what kind of people do we have in these positions that they're so simple-minded, they're so easily fooled?
Aunt Granny, if they are teaching the laws of the Quran, then they're very easy. You just go around there and you say, all right, we want to teach the laws of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, God's law. It's God's law. That's what he wants the people to do. That's his laws that he set down from Mount Sinai. They need to teach that. I mean, if the Quran has their deal, then they can teach the Christian, the God, Almighty God's Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments don't kill. Now, if the Quran says it's okay to kill the infidels, let them explain it. But then they can explain why God doesn't want anybody to kill anybody. So
well,
laws,
I understand
God's
what you're saying, and I agree with you 100%.
Okay, well, see, now...
religious people have not gone to these and lied to them about what it was they were teaching, and the majority, and 99% of Americans were raised on religion, and they know what it is. This is a new type of... And I'm not going to call it a religion, because we're talking about extremists. We're talking about the Muslim religion where the people follow the Quran, and that's where your jihad and your I can't think of the word. I'm just saying insane followers.
Right.
That's what they believe and act on.
Right. During that teaching, did they say anything about how the woman is subservient to the man?
I don't know. I haven't been in a class. I just know what I was told in that meeting and she explained to us how he was getting away. This guy was getting away with this and going into the different states and like coming in here to Texas, like up in Michigan. They had two men beheaded in Michigan. Do you hear? You haven't heard anything on the news about that.
Well, in Michigan, I understand there is a huge Muslim community up there.
Yeah, there is.
And they're trying to put it in different communities like that to develop it. Like maybe right there in that place, they're trying to develop a Muslim community.
What's happening is that in Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan is where this is.
Yeah.
They did not have to accept the Quran as the law, as accepted law in the United States, and that's what they have done. Sharia law. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's they have gone. They're telling them we're teaching them Sharia law. Well, these people that they're talking to in the courtrooms and in the governor's houses and everything, they know nothing about this. They know nothing. And they're accepting on blind faith what this man is telling them.
Then somebody has to get to them and say, this is what they're trying to circumvent the laws of the United States through our children.
Well, my question is, where is it? Again, I'm going to call them idiots because that's the only thing I can think of. Where is it that you let a law of a foreign country override the laws of the United States?
It's in the Constitution. You do not allow that to happen.
Well, I understand that, but that's what they're doing in Dearborn, Michigan.
Well, if they're starting to do it in Texas, you need to get to the sheriff in Texas, Sheriff Mack, and have him take a look at that. and tell and put your suspicions and have them investigate. You know that investigating form that I told you about a couple of shows ago?
Right.
File a complaint on that and take it there and say, we want this investigated.
Well, that's a good thought.
Then put the name on there and all this type of thing and say, this is what you heard, and put your thoughts on there. Use an extra paper if you have. Get a few people to sign it that are on the same brainwaves as we are, and hand it to them and say, here, we want this investigated because we believe that they are, circumventing the constitutional rights of the students, and they are not telling them the truth. And if Sharia is a law and not a religion, because if they're teaching them the Sharia law, then it's not a religion. It can't be one or the other. It's either the law or it's the religion. Now, what is it?
Well, what you have to understand is Sharia law is the portion of the Quran that was written by Muhammad or whoever in the hell.
Right. Okay.
This is what they use to enforce their version of the Muslim religion.
Well, I found out
this
that...
This is how they're getting it into the schools.
All right. Sharia is not a religion then.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they're using
to
teach. They're using the Sharia law, which is, in fact, the rules for the religion of their jihadish Muslim fanatical religion. And those are the laws that govern their version of Muslim religion.
All right. If Sharia is a Muslim religion, then the Muslim religion is not allowed in the schools, in the public schools.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sharia law, okay, that's what they call the laws that they use to enforce the, I can't find the right word.
Okay.
The blown up version of the Muslim religion. Let's put it that way.
The Muslim faith. So the Muslim faith says certain things, and so yes, it's okay to behead somebody. Yes, it's okay to kill a woman if she has been with another man.
This is the law that says that's okay. Okay, your regular Muslim religion does not say that, but because of the Quran and Sharia law, the fanatics, this is what they practice.
Well, I found out something that it is improper to use the word law with Sharia.
Well, I don't know about that one because
I'm saying is what they're doing is whoever uses that word law is it's more or less like circumventing the true meaning of the word Sharia. Sharia is the religion.
No, Sharia
they
is
add
law.
The word, they add the word law to circumvent their religious deal.
No.
Wait, I was told it's when you say Sharia law, you're saying law, because Sharia is law.
Right.
The meaning of Sharia is the law. So when you say Sharia law, you're in essence saying law.
Right. That's what I meant, yeah. And so basically Sharia is the religion. Islam. It's Muslim.
It's the tool used to enforce the religion.
To enforce the religion. Okay. If it's used to enforce it, then that means Sharia is the religion. And therefore, whatever they're teaching the children in the public schools about Sharia would be unconstitutional.
Okay,
and regarding Sharia and the Muslim religion is just to go ahead and get their foot in the door. And therefore, it's unconstitutional because it's just like hypocrisy. They're trying to find a way to get in there to train, to lie to the children about what it is, because the first thing out of their mouth should be saying is, Sharia says that if a woman is found to be adulterous, she will be stoned to death. But are they telling the children that? No.
Yeah.
So I'm saying is they are lying to the children, and therefore, another form of lying is not tolerated in the United States of America in schools. And so that's what I'm saying is I really believe that now that they have that burqa and everything, and she said, well, we're teaching them the Muslim religion or whatever, I would have it investigated fully by the state attorney or by the district attorney. And that form can be gotten at any federal prosecutor's office.
So just for the record, so people, as we're talking about Sharia, this is the Wikipedia thing, which goes along with what I've been hearing. Sharia is the moral code and religious law of Islam.
So therefore, they are teaching them the Sharia law and religion of Islam.
Sharia is the moral code and religious law of Islam. So,
right.
So the religious law is it's okay to behead somebody. The religious
That's
law
right.
is it's okay to kill a woman if she's been with another man or whatever.
Right. And so, therefore, that gives us grounds to go in there and say, are you teaching the Ten Commandment laws? God's
exactly.
law.
They're not allowed to teach Ten Commandments, but they're allowed to teach this.
I think you have a good case there, Granny.
Okay.
I think you really have a good case there to say, why is it that they can't teach the God's law if they're teaching Sharia law, the religious law, just like she wrote out of Wikipedia. I think you've got a good case there to get it going.
I think you're right.
And I, you know who might be interested in hearing that, too, would be somebody like Mike Gallagher. Because he mentioned this thing about that city. What is it? Was it Lubbock, Texas? That had
no,
that?
I don't think it was Lubbock. I don't remember where it was, but I don't think it was Lubbock.
Yeah, I think it began with an L, though, anyway. But I would have that checked out and get a few of your friends to take a look at it, because God's Ten Commandments were the laws of God, you know, and that's before of any religion. That was just God. Jesus
well,
wasn't
some
available
states, and I wrote Perry a letter 2-3 years ago now. Some states have passed a law stating that no foreign laws will be accepted in the courts of that state above and beyond the laws of the United States.
Then you have to send that to not Perry, but you have to send it to the Supreme Court of the state of Texas. So that they know that that's what's happening there, and also the send what we were just talking about with the Ten Commandments,
right?
And the Sharia, send that also to the Supreme Court of the state of Texas, because that's the law section. And I would also copy in the United States, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. Copy them in on the thing, stating that. If the Ten Commandments can't be taught in school, neither can Sharia.
Well, this little town, I'll tell you what, it's scary, because this little town I live in, we're not 25,000 people.
Yeah.
And I have seen in the last 6 months 4 women who were not of Muslim religion or ethnicity, white girls walking around and black, walking around with this clothing on,
the burqas, yeah,
burqas.
That's because they've gone through the training and they want to they're either studying it or else they like the garb. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. See, they're being slowly introduced to it, and they like the garb, so they put the garb up on, and then the next thing they're going to be hooked into this, and then they're going to wake up and their old man's going to be chopped one of their fingers off one day.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, put me on mute.
Well, okay, well, just one last thing here. Did you guys watch The Bible last night? Did you?
I loved
it.
I thought it was a fantastic trip through the Bible, and I'm going to make sure I watch it and continue to watch it.
I don't know when.
Yeah, it's coming on next Sunday too. I think it's every Sunday until Easter.
Yeah, something like that. Something like 8 or 10 episodes of it, or segments to it, or something. So,
right.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So
I thought they did a great job. Yep. All right, y'all take care.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I'll hit the mute button for you. If you decide you want to come back in, hit that button.
Okay, will do.
The other thing, before we get going anymore on that, I want to make sure I mention one other thing, because we were talking about the money earlier. $200 million, it was either $200 or $300 million that our new Secretary of State out there has given to Egypt. Here we are broke, and we're giving $200 million to Egypt, who is trashing their own military and going with the Muslim Brotherhood and all this other stuff. Is that not giving aid to the enemy, too? Is that not a treasonous act?
I would have to think so. I don't know how. I do not know how they're getting away with this. I mean, it's just dumbfounding. I mean, you've got someone, you know that he's a radical Islamist over there who has been elected. I don't think he was elected. I think it was all fixed and rigged just like this was for Obama. And they put him in office over there. Then they're going to turn around and give those poor people that are fighting for themselves some, you know, equipment and everything. And what's going to end up happening, it's going to end up getting taken away from them.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
This is just idiotic.
It is. It's nuts. I mean, we're broke. But we have enough money to give to millions and millions all over the world, in billions, truly. In this case, I heard it was either 200 or 300 million. I'm not sure, but it was a number like that. I'm like, okay, we can't afford to keep the illegals in prison because we don't have money, but we can afford to go pay this guy. And the same with China. Wait a minute, we owe China how much money, but yet we're giving them subsidies? Could somebody explain how that's not nuts?
Well, the yeah. other thing on top of all that is, Obama is flying around. He went last week, to Florida and played golf with Tiger Woods. Now, it costs $124 million an hour to fly that presidential jet. But he's taken all kinds of vacations and everything. He goes to Hawaii. And then when he went to Florida, his old lady didn't want to go with him, so she took her kids off in another direction. So that's another airplane and all of the people and everything. They're spending millions, hundreds of millions of dollars just acting like they're royalty.
But they think they are.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid and Dwight D. Eisenhower was president of the United States, and I remember the news media having a fit because he would go off to play golf. Now, he didn't take his Air Force One to go play golf. You know, he would go, like, locally. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't flying all over the world to go play golf. And they raised hell about how many games of golf he played. But they're not saying one damn word about all this extravagance that they're using to keep themselves looking like a king and queen of America instead of president and his wife who give a damn about this country.
Exactly. I mean, then they try to talk about people suffering. Yeah, right. You understand how it's like. So instead of taking the money that you're wasting flying around like that, instead of taking that money and putting it back into saving this country, you're going to waste it having a joyride and being on a campaign trail. He's never been president. He's always been a candidate. He's never a president. He's always out there campaigning for something and not doing anything.
Well, I also think if they've got to furlough people in the armed services and the federal employees, then let's just take a little cut out of all the congressional and the House of Representatives and now the Senate. Let's take some money out of their pockets. Let's dock them.
Let's cut their benefits. Let them pay like the rest of us do. Cut all this pork and these crazy offices that they have and all these billions they waste all over the place. If one senator can cut $600 million out of his own office budget, it seems like we could save a heck of a lot in just that kind of crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. I was listening to Hannity this afternoon on the radio, and there's a lot of other places that money can be cut from and taken from besides taking out of our defense funds. It doesn't have to be that way.
No, but that's what Obama wants to do. Obama wants to bring this country down. The White House occupier is determined to destroy this country. He doesn't care about doing the right thing. That's not his agenda. And anybody that thinks it is just drinking too much Kool-Aid. I mean, just look at what he does. And, I mean, you got to say for the same idiots in the other two houses of Congress, too, because why are we funding goldfish studies and stupid things like this? And people say, well, that's only a drop in the bucket. Yeah, but a few hundred million here, a few hundred million there, a few hundred million there, a few hundred million. I mean, it's all over the place. And you think, it's like, you know what, if it's just a drop in the bucket, give me that goldfish money and I'll go actually do something for the community and help out.
Well, you take 3/4 of the money that they spend in all these tests and these studies and crap. Your grandmother and my grandmother had the answers to them 50 years ago. And they'll spend all this money on these tests, and they come back and say, well, the age-old theory that so-and-so and such did so-and-so was correct. The University of so-and-so did these kind of studies and come to find out they were right. And I'm going, who in the hell needed to study it in the first place?
Because it's just wasting money. It's giving money to their friends to do nothing. It's just unbelievable. If there was the need, without a doubt, research is expensive. And that's why we give so much money to colleges, because that's a learning institution, and you can see how they could actually expand on some things using money to teach at the same time. But still, the nuttiness of what they spend on this kind of garbage, and what's the point? I heard something just came out. They've come up with some new cure for AIDS. Something has come up. Who funded that? But yet, they go and give money to the pharmaceuticals, and the pharmaceuticals go crazy with charging the outrageous fees. We have Americans going to Canada to buy their medication because they can't afford the ones here. After we're the ones who help fund the mess.
They go to Canada and to Mexico. But that HIV, that baby that was cured of the HIV, that was done by accident. Instead of giving the child a double dose, in other words, two different types of medication, they gave the child a mega dosage of 3 types of medication and sent it home with its mother. And then after so many months, the mother quit giving the child the medication. And it's been 2 years since they did that, and they realized they finally saw the kid again. And the kid doesn't have HIV. So this is an accident.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how crazy. I mean, we're lost. Humans are just nuts. Oh, I don't believe it. I mean, I guess I do believe it, unfortunately.
Now, did they do it that way? No. They had the hospital spokesman on earlier at the 6 o'clock news telling about that. And instead of giving them the regular, just a dose of 2 medications, we gave the child a mega dosage, which was 3 different types of medication, and we sent the child home with his mother.
Well, and how old's the child now?
2.
Well, and the truth is, we don't truly know. It's going to take time to see what else, that kind of medication in a small individual is going to do over the years. So,
well, no, they said she's cured. There's no HIV.
No,
in
no, no. I'm talking other stuff that happens on account of it. You go and you get that much. Yeah.
I wouldn't even worry about that, because if it didn't cure the HIV, she was going to die anyway.
Well, yes, that's obviously a point. Or who knows, to be honest, with some of the craziness of what's going on with medicine these days. But if they go and start doing that to a lot of kids and not realizing what happens down the road to them. From it, you could have another problem on your hands. But they would definitely be alive for a little bit longer than what they may have been. I don't know. It's one of those crazy situations. And again, I guess my disgust with some things I see in the medical profession and pharmaceuticals specifically. I mean, have you ever watched a commercial for Abilify?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, here's to help you with depression, but yet it causes suicidal tendencies and every other kind of crazy nutsiness. And okay, so you're not depressed, but you just want to kill yourself. Okay. I mean, some of the other stuff that was hallucinations and this and that. I mean, it's like, okay, so depression. It was all from when I listened to the warnings about it. It sounds like you're going from depression to schizophrenia.
It sounds like to me, why the hell would you even want to take it?
Well, exactly. It's like, okay.
You're better off if you live with depression.
Exactly. There's other ways to, it's just, and that's typical of these commercials, what you hear while they're out there popping drugs all over the place. And I'm like, and how many people, just for whatever crazy reason, with all this crazy, first thing they want to do is go call a doctor and pop a pill. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, people don't think about side effects, and this is the thing I've learned. I always did, but my brother is a perfect example. He came down here, and they sent him. He was taking 20 different medications. And I finally got him out of that nursing home, and we went to an internist, and we've cut his medications in half, which that had something to do with some of the memory problems he was having, because they had him on medications that were, you know, the side effects were they either made him sleepy or they would mess with his mind or whatever, and I'm just putting it in those terms.
Right.
They didn't think about the consequence of that medication with the other medications he was taking. And this was
right. Doctors
that did that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the doctors are trained. They're not trained anything to do with nutrition. They're trained all to do with pop a pill. And, I mean, I would love to know. I wish there'd be a way to know how many doctors are investors in some type of pharmaceutical.
They're not investors. They get the perks. They hand out the samples and everything based on how many samples they hand out and so forth. Then they're given perks by the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, whichever way you want to call it, they're an investor one way or another to it, whether they invest via the market or stock, some type of stocks, or whether they get bennies in the office, which is also a form of investing, bribery, whatever you want to call it, where they're getting money to push pills.
They're getting trips, and they're getting vacations, and they're getting, you know, all this stuff.
Same difference.
I know.
Same difference. They're selling off meds for their own personal benefit, not because of what they think it does, what they know it does for the individual.
But then also the problem is you've got doctors who shouldn't be doctors, just like we've got congressmen who shouldn't be congressmen, senators who shouldn't be senators. They're there. They went to school. They got the certificate. They got the license, so they can make money. Not because they give a damn about somebody.
No. And I mean, the history shows that in the past, doctors were not paid nearly anything like what they are today. The doctor was truly there as a caregiver, and they got whatever they got. You know, they didn't make a decision as to whether to treat somebody based on how much money they could give them. And today, that's really what it is. It's not about health care. I mean, everything to do with health care today is, to me, it's...
Well, it all goes right back to what we've got going on in Congress and in the White House. It all goes back to money. Doesn't have
moral
to do
values.
With that they're going up there to represent the people in our Constitution. They're up there to make money, and that's all there is to it.
Which goes back to the very subject of today, America, land of the free or land of hypocrisy? Are doctors really caregivers, or are they just money grubbers? And what did health insurance really do? Because to me, health insurance is a big part of the problem with health care. And I'm saying, I really do think we took a major dive when the HMOs came out. I mean, it all sounded
definitely.
Preventive. What's that?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be this preventive maintenance. Go to the doctors more often and stay healthy and this and that. I haven't seen it make people healthier at all. especially when the doctors never push the diet, the nutrition kind of thing. They always push pills, nothing else. And then the mentality of people to say, well, wait a minute, if I don't go, if by the end of the year I'll lose this. You know, I can only go for so much every year, and it doesn't carry over. So make sure you go before the end of the year so you get your money's worth. You're not sick, but go anyway.
Well, the other thing the HMOs does, the majority of the insurance companies that have these doctors contracted with them, these are substandard doctors anyway. They're not there to cure you. They're there for you to come in, spend 10 or 15 minutes in the office for them to write you a script and kick your butt out the door. Because they're working on a contracted amount of money.
Right.
And any time someone tells you, you've got to go see the doctor. I mean, I knew that when someone came at me with HMO. I said, what in the hell is that? Well, we'll have a group of doctors that you can go to. I said, in other words, you're going to tell me what doctor I can go see? And they said, yeah. I said, no, it ain't going to work that way.
Right.
And that's what HMOs are. I mean, they're not there to take care of you. I mean, the insurance companies make it sound like that, but they're not. I know too many people that's died because they went to HMOs. They had to go to doctors that didn't give a damn.
Yep. And
substandard doctors.
This HMO mentality somehow was getting people hooked into going into some kind of medical program that you were going to go at any time, and all of a sudden, I don't know, just it seems like it was a way to prepare people for this other crap we're dealing with now. As far as a certain mentality towards healthcare.
Well, yeah, wasn't it the she just stepped down, Secretary. The Clintons? Weren't the Clintons the ones that brought us the HMOs? Or was it Bush?
Well, I know Clinton was out there pushing for some type of universal healthcare way back when, but I didn't really know whether she was the HMO person or not. I don't know that.
Well, I think that's where the HMOs came from, too, because she wanted that. And speaking of the healthcare system, let's talk about the fact that now with this sequester, this is a perfect time that our Congress can defund Obamacare.
Yes. That's what it should do. This is the perfect reason to defund Obamacare.
They can go in there now as part of this problem with the deficit and go in there, and they can defund Obamacare. Now, the question is, are they going to find balls enough to do it? Oh, I said that, didn't I?
Well, we already know where the Senate is, so we know we're not going to get it there. But you would think we could do that over in that House of Representatives, if they have it. Are they too big of hypocrites to do it?
They're
too big of hypocrites. Here we've got it, and I don't know if you heard me talking towards the beginning of the show, because I know you came in a little bit about 20 minutes in. Oh, in Maryland right now, Maryland has just passed, the Senate has passed some extremely crazy gun law stuff, and now it's going to their House and it's expected to go. But now we have, they're talking about the Republicans, like Paul Ryan, Eric Cantor, Tom Coburn, Scott Riegel, I think his name is, and it's Patrick Meehan, I think it is. These are Republicans who are all already caving in to the gun law stuff. They're already surrendering our rights on the gun law stuff. And, I mean, it's just these Republicans are the biggest bunch of losers there are because they stand for nothing. And, I mean, Tom Coburn, of all people, to be caving in on gun laws.
Well, my question is why? They already know three quarters of the people out there don't want that. We are going to keep our guns. Now, they can pass all the damn laws they want to. Why in the hell are they doing that? Has Obama gotten to them?
Well, you have to wonder, why are they doing this? And let me see if I can find this one. Now, this is what's really crazy. This bill, the article is called, what's the name of this article? Maryland Senate passes sweeping gun control bill. And in here is the Maryland Senate President Pro Tem Nathan McFadden was delighted with the bill's passage. Here's the quote. I'm reading this off this article. Residents are sick and tired of this gun violence. No, this is not a perfect bill because you're right. Those criminals are not going to go in and get fingerprinted. The criminals aren't going to do anything. But somehow these guns find their ways into our communities. They come from somewhere, and you can get a gun quicker than you can get an apple or an orange in my community. It's outrageous, and we have to start somewhere. Is that not the stupidest statement?
Well, that's because the people of Maryland have not stopped to think that you take the guns, and you know this, I is stupid to have to say it. You take the guns out of the hands of the people who will protect themselves and their country with it, and you take them out of their hands, and you're going to turn around, and the only ones that are going to have the guns are going to be the crooks. But they have turned around, and we can thank Obama for this. They have convinced everybody that the only people, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're mentally well, whether you're ill, whether you're sick or not, anybody is going to pick up a gun and go shoot somebody.
Well,
these people have not stopped to think. The average person is not going to do this.
Well, that's the part that's so stupid about it. But at the same time, I have to tell you, when I was doing some work in the D.C. area, and I was staying in Gaithersburg, Maryland, I had the windshields busted out of a car. I had a message on the back windshield saying, support Arizona, on their immigration thing. And they busted out the front windshield, the back windshield, and I think a couple, well, maybe they didn't do the side windows, but the back, front and back windshield totally busted out, left the hammer next to the top, to the car. The Maryland police did nothing but write a report saying, yes, it happened. They would not do anything about it. The Baltimore is the sanctuary for the illegals. I mean, Maryland is about as anti-American as it gets, I think.
Isn't it Chicago that has the strongest gun laws in the country? And their kill rate, their murder rate has more than doubled this year?
Exactly. The highest rate of murder and the highest gun control, strictest gun control.
You know,
like,
so
people, do you not figure it out?
Well, they haven't heard it because the news media hadn't told them about it.
Well, there was a fair amount said because of Obama going there. The White House occupier was doing his tour to his hometown.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, but, you know, the people in Maryland, they're not tuned in. They're not getting on their computers. They don't know what's going on. They're expecting the news media to tell them.
Well, I mean, of course, they're all being spoon-fed by D.C. anyway. So, I mean, it's not like they are right next door to D.C. there. So they're, in essence, are part of the Beltway anyway, really.
And I'm going to tell you something else, back to the gun thing. When that guy went in down there, what was the name of that town where the last mass murder took place? Where the kid went in into the school, do what?
You're asking for the killer's name, the gun shooter?
No, what was the town's name?
Oh, Newtown.
Okay.
Andy Hook, Newtown.
I was watching, and this is driving me crazy. I was watching the news immediately after this happened, and a couple of hours into it, the sheriff of that town came out and got up to the podium. And he was telling them what he knew about what had happened. And he was talking about the guns that the guy had. And a reporter asked him, and I know I did not dream this. A reporter asked him if he had an automatic, you know, a machine gun type gun. And the sheriff says, no, they were in the car. His automatic guns were in the car. He had pistols. Now, where did that go?
Oh, it was easy. They went and said the shooter had semi-automatics.
But that sheriff has never said that.
Hmm?
the sheriff has never said that. But the White House took it.
The media said he had them. The media said he had them. They didn't bother to clarify in the trunk.
Yeah. So there, and then, you know, the president and the White House, everybody says, oh, he went in there with these semi-automatic, machine guns, and he mowed down people. And the sheriff stood right there and said, that's not what happened.
Well, don't confuse the facts. I mean, you know, don't confuse people with the truth.
Every time we get on that this discussion about the guns and the semi-automatics and you know, the clip guns and all that, and they get into this and they want to blame it on that kid, and I'm going, the kid didn't have one of those. He didn't do all that damage with one of those.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm going, why do you have to lie to us so badly?
Well, because people they figure people will believe it, and don't confuse people with the truth. Why tell the truth when a lie will do just as good?
Yeah, let's make it all gory and gutty and everything as we possibly can to get people to come over to our side.
It's no different than what the White House occupiers were saying about the sequestration stuff. It's like, everybody's going to die. No one's going to live again. We're all going to go. But of course, I'm going to keep flying around. I'm going to keep playing golf. Don't expect me to stop doing any of that. But the rest of you are going to suffer.
I'm going to keep inviting these extremists into the White House and feeding them steak and all this, you know, high-dollar food and everything. But it's okay. Y'all all do without out there and you know, take your 20 hours off or whatever. And but I'm going to keep spending like I want to.
Looks like Mr. Coyne wants to jump back in on here, so let's see what he's got to say here. Okay, Charlie, what's up?
Well, in regards to guns, Second Amendment shall not be infringed upon. So, we have to get ready, each and every one of us, to make sure that we go after everybody who signs on to take away any of our gun rights. Because even if they take away and make the ammunition impossible to get, that's a violation of the Second Amendment because you need bullets to keep the guns going. It's time for the lawyers of the NRA to make sure, and I'm sure they're already working on it, but they have to be, how would you say, we have to be injured first. The moment anything is passed, I'm sure it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And it should go on a state and federal basis. The courts have already ruled in favor of us having the right to have guns for a militia, not for deer hunting. All of these things that are happening because of, and let's hit the main issue as to why we have Newtown, Aurora, Columbine, Fort Hood, and all these other murders, like, you know, 9/11. Because of a lack of a moral training and upbringing since 1956, when our Supreme Court 5 kicked out prayer in school and prayer in public places and is trying to take God out of his country. It's the Supreme Court 5 that have caused a lot of this problem. It is our law, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, it's the ACLU. It's all the members of the ACLU who don't want and believe in God. But it is God Almighty who has given us all life and everything. So the whole thing about it is when we get back to a moral country of honesty and integrity, a lot of this killing will go down the tubes because people will start being brought up properly again by their parents. Welfare is another method of bringing people down because they have nothing, so they get a gun to go steal. And when they have a gun to go steal, they're going to kill somebody because they want their money. All of this is caused by, as far as I'm concerned, the judicial system. Because the judicial system wants to make more jobs for lawyers. So what's the best way to do it? Make sure that there are more criminals out there harassing the decent people so that their lawyer friends can get to work. and their sons and daughters. I really believe that it's a vicious cycle created intentionally, unintentionally, but the Supreme Court is suspect along with a lot of other courts. They want to, we are land of law, let's uphold the law. Congress does not know. Congress can write a law, but they don't know how to administer that law and uphold it. They don't follow up on it. And all of those who are responsible for the jurisdiction of the law and to make sure it is implemented properly, they are not doing their job, and Congress does not follow up on that. Congress makes law regarding giving money to welfare recipients and EBT cards, but then they don't have any law there to, how would you say, cover fraud and dishonesty by those who receive them. Why is it that a woman with a Cadillac can go in and have food stamps? Why is it that somebody wearing jewelry, gold and all that, can have food stamps? But yet an American citizen, a veteran, can't get them. And they're low on income. They're at the poverty level. But no, they're an American. Why is it that an illegal alien can get school subsidies, but an American can't? This is the stupidity, the ignorance, and the out-and-out greedy theft of our Congress, our legislators, on a federal, state, and local basis. And all of this brings about dishonesty, corruption, and a violation of the Constitution and the morals of this country. It is up to we the people to restore honesty and integrity and God's love back in this country, or there will be no country at all. That's all I have to say. But right now, it's time to go ahead and make sure that the NRA gets the attorneys out there ready to go and pounce on this thing again, because what it is just a waste of money, because Congress doesn't know how to hold people accountable or themselves accountable for what's going on. But Congress, if you notice, they got a raise of $100,000 to $180,000 for doing nothing, but yet Obama says his janitors are going to take a pay cut. What is this thing about fairness and everything right there in Washington? The low-income guys are going to take a pay cut, and people at the airport are going to get laid off, like TSA and all this type of thing, and ground controllers, but Congress gets a raise. Now, if that is not an oxymoron, if that is the most stupid, ignorant, corrupt situation I have ever heard, is give Congress a raise, give the federal higher-ups a raise, but boy, make sure that janitor loses money and he has to struggle. President Obama, you don't know anything about economics. You are a community organizer, but you don't know how to organize a one-float parade.
And just think about how much money those goldfish get. I'd like to know, out of that $200 million or whatever it was for the goldfish study, how many goldfish were involved and how much money they gave to each goldfish compared to what they would have done to have paid down our debt and relieved our own taxes.
It was 1.2. It was 1.2 on the goldfish.
Okay, 1.2 on the goldfish.
1.2 million, yep.
But how many goldfish were there?
I don't know.
Two? I mean the behavior of goldfish.
Well, I wonder how much they paid China for the goldfish.
Well, exactly, and of course they bought them from China. Oh, my goodness. I mean, how crazy.
Oh, okay, put me back.
Okay. Okay.
Let me shut the door.
What? Okay. I can tell Miss Texas still there because I can hear that dog. That's a Texas yap.
Yep, that's him yapping at the cats.
Leave those poor cats alone. Now, it is pretty sick. I mean, what we've got. And again, it's like the land of hypocrisy. These people up there talking about all this with cutting spending, but when you ask them to cut the spending to their own special interest groups and everything else, they don't want to do it. Can't cut spending to goldfish. How can we do that? We have to cut the military. We can't cut goldfish. I mean, it's sick. It's pathetic. And we are, again, the land of hypocrisy. I'm telling you, I just don't know what's going to happen if the American people don't say, yeah, we do believe in some kind of moral ground and moral decency, and we do have values, and that we're not going to put up with this crap. And so I'm going to go ahead and just real quickly read off what I was saying for the hope for America for 2013. I do see hope for America because of those who truly believe in America. There are the true American patriots like us who believe in what this country stands for and are not greedy and selfish and evildoers, if you will. And America can be saved if and only if Americans go back to the core values. If Americans refuse to have any kind of decency, refuse to go back to core beliefs of the individual rights and those types of things, and also the Constitution, we're not going to be saved. We will never survive. America can only be saved if Americans and nothing, or Americans and nothing but Americans. This goes back to this dual loyalty. Are you loyal to America, or are you loyal to some other country? You can only be loyal to one. You can't be loyal to both. So if Americans are going to be dual nationality, you can forget it too, because you're divided. You are divided from within. And then the other is America can be saved if Americans once again abide by the Constitution. I mean, when was the last time we really had anybody in public office? With the exception, you know, Rand Paul, he doesn't do it all perfect. I don't make any claims he does it perfect. But when you use him, how many actually abide by the Constitution as much or more than Rand Paul? Who are the other ones that are closely in line with Rand Paul? I mean, there's a couple of them out there. Jeff Sessions, I think, has always been pretty good. Senator Sessions out of Alabama. And let's see, who's another one? Who's another one that actually believes in the Constitution? I have to think about this because there's just not that many of them. So this is, I mean, I have hope for America if Americans will actually do something, if Americans will take back, you know, part of what Charlie was saying about how this all happened, blaming it on the judicial system and things like that. It ultimately came down to the value of the American people. The value of the American people allowed the crap to get into public office and allowed to become sheeple of political parties, allowed to instead of doing their job, which was to participate and understand what was going on, they surrendered their rights to the political process. So, you know, and it wasn't something that happened overnight. It happened over time, little by little. Associations took power, and they people started following them. And then the liberal progressives that got into them. When you think about what happened to the Republican Party, it's truly no different than what happened to the Tea Party. The Tea Party was a true movement about the Constitution and getting back to core values. But those Republicans, many who truly believe the same as the Tea Party, but the organization as a whole said, wow, this is a way for us to pretend to believe in the Constitution again and to take control and get the masses behind us again. So many, unfortunately, I'll say gullible and naive, whatever you want to call it, Tea Partiers who were also in some way aligned with the Republican Party or leaning in that way or independent with a conservative leaning, somehow thought the Republican Party was going to change. And in the overall scheme of things, the Republican Party hasn't changed. They haven't changed for the better. They've gone downhill little by little because they are just as greedy. Liberal progressives get into it. I mean, locally, I hear it all the time. It's like, well, if you somebody who's registered as one party, whether it be a Democrat, Libertarian, or Republican, some other party, say, well, change parties and run, you could win. And why are you part of a party? It's all just a game. You have to run as this, and you have to say this if you want to get elected. Don't worry about what you truly believe in. Don't worry about standing for something. Don't worry about having any kind of core values. Here's what you tell the idiots out there, because this is what they'll believe, and this is what they'll vote for. And that's what they do. And so when you've got this kind of lack of ethics, which has started through the American culture. The American culture, it's spread throughout the American culture, and most definitely the Supreme Court has become nothing but a political process, too. And I truly do not believe a person should sit on that court forever. They should definitely be appointed. There should not be elections. So what we, last thing we need is to have elections for the Supreme Court. They should be appointed, but they should be appointed for like 6 years and that's it, or some definite time period, 4 years, 6 years, whatever it is, and that way you keep flushing out the crap off that Supreme Court too. Term limits on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, okay. Every time I hear Charlie say it should go to the Supreme Court, I think about the justices we've got sitting on the Supreme Court and where they stand and the stances we know that they're going to take. And they're not going to vote according to a rule according to the Constitution. They're going to rule according to Obama and the UN.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for Obamacare to have passed with that court, and he, for Rogers to do what he did, it was terrible. Roberts. For him to do what he did, it's just so despicable.
But then, after that, he left the door open. For Congress to come back and slam that door shut, and they did not do it.
And why? Because of you cannot blame it on just one party. You had a very weak Republican party. Yeah.
Congress,
like right now,
the Republican House did not do it. And, of course, the Senate wasn't going to do it. The Senate passed that bill. The House of Representatives did not pass that bill. The Senate did. It was declared a tax. The Senate cannot pass a tax on the people.
Right.
So now the House of Representatives can come back and say, hey, guys, you got this all wrong. But they have not done it.
Those are cowards. Self-serving, evil cowards. They're anti-American. All they're thinking about is what they can get out of the system, how many ways they can scam their way through and rip off the people. They don't care.
And I know if I can figure this out, those overeducated bunch of idiots up there damn sure ought to be able to do it.
Right. And they can. But, again, it comes down to moral values. They don't have any. They can pretend all they want to while they're on the campaign trail, pretend they have some kind of religious moral values, but the truth is they don't. Their actions speak louder than their words. You can go to church every Sunday if you want to, but if you're out there killing and destroying and doing everything evil the rest of the time, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be forgiven for the evilness you do while pretending to confess to your sins once a week. It doesn't work that way. And that's what they do. That's literally what they do. And here we've got, you know, Rick Scott 2 weeks ago caves into Medicare from the feds. So does Christie up there, which everybody pretty much knew or expected. I mean, Christie, he is up in Jersey. Technically, he's a Republican, but he also is very liberal in many senses. So it should have been no surprise that he caved in. And here, you had enough so-called conservative governors who could have shut down Obamacare at the state level, but they're too big of cowards. They don't have the backbone. They're cowards. That's all there is to it. They're so afraid they're not going to get the free money from the state, or from the feds, I should say. And free money. This is the mentality of these idiots that are at the state level. Free money, the federal government's bankrupt, you know that, but you think it's free money that you want for your state, not to mention giving up state sovereignty to the feds. This was Rick Scott who did it here in Florida. And he's an idiot. That's, I don't know what else you call somebody that would do something like that after really being so gung-ho against Obamacare. And he's one of the few Republicans who flip on it. What an idiot. And they can still shut down the exchanges, but I don't think Rick Scott will do it because he's not brave enough. He didn't have any courage. He's a coward.
Well, he's looking at boats down there in Florida, just like Perry is here, and he's looking at all the Mexican, and I'm not going to say the H word because I don't believe in it, at the Mexicans, the Cubans, and everybody else that's come in down there by the droves. And he's looking at them for votes. And they're down there doing just like the ones here in Texas are. They're trying to push Perry into accepting it. And that's what they've done. And he wants their votes because he wants to run again. So he caves.
No moral ground. There is no moral compass in this country because these people who keep getting into these leadership roles don't have the courage to do the job. They don't believe in anything. They accept their own personal wealth. And they'll sacrifice anybody to get it. Land of hypocrisy. Yeah.
I've thought a lot about this, and I think we need to go. I think the American public who are supporting the universities and the colleges need to think twice about doing it. I think a lot of our problems started back in the 50s when the universities and colleges started hiring liberals. They're hiring people who serve jail terms, prison terms, for trying to blow up our country. They've got Islamics, foreigners in our schools teaching. They don't know what they're teaching in the classrooms. They're giving them money and donating millions of dollars to the schools. They don't care what they're teaching the kids.
They don't.
And this liberal teaching has had to have started back in the 50s. And if we're to stop this in the United States, those schools are going to have to be cleaned out. They are going to have to be cleaned out. Any liberal, and I'm not saying, I've got a touch of liberal. I'm conservative with a touch of liberal. You can't be conservative, and be good. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. There has to be some liberal in there somewhere. You have to be able to bend sometimes.
Well, and that's where it comes into that libertarian versus a Republican.
Well, I don't believe in the libertarians' way of doing things either, so.
Well, they go to the extreme.
And we need to get rid of the parties. No more closed, primaries. No more closed primaries. Just go down there and vote for who you think you want to be voting for to run for president. But we've got to get these schools cleaned out. That's just all there is to it. We've got to get the government out of our schools. But in the colleges and the universities, parents have got to know what these idiots are teaching. And all they're teaching is warmongering, and they're teaching against Christ. And they're teaching against the families. They're teaching everything but morality.
Exactly. Which is the sad part. And if the states would have done their job, if the states would have said, no, this is our responsibility, we take care of our own schools, keep the federal government out of these schools, then we wouldn't be in this mess. You got to look through so many times how the state has caved in to the federal government, and how the states have surrendered their rights to the federal government. That is such a key part of this, too. It's unbelievable to me how we have gone so backwards. And even when the things have been happening like they are lately, and there's so much of a reawareness or an awakening to what the Constitution really is, what state sovereignty really means, what the Second Amendment really means, yet you get these yahoos like Rick Scott and, of course, you know, Rubio and company and a bunch of other these rhinos who totally trash the Constitution, ignore the Constitution. And so what do you expect? Where are the values? Where are these people, on both sides, they all claim to love America. Well, wait a minute. First, if you're supporting one world order and surrendering our rights to the United Nations, how do you love America? What's your definition of love America? Surrendering? You know? So we have no – and where does it all start? And I just go back to – the decline of the society as a whole, which things like the ACLU getting in there, this idea that nobody can lose. What's the one, the thing that they were trying to change, one of the, about voting, the bill that makes the certain states have to get approval to change their state laws. They're trying to change something on that. Scalia was the one trying to push for it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. No, I hadn't heard.
This just hit the airwaves the last couple of days because of the fact that they go after individual states. Now, of course, the liberals are all afraid this is going to somehow block their people's rights to vote and stuff like this. But the truth is it would make the vote more even, more open, if you didn't have certain states with certain rules. And I think Texas is one of them. Definitely South Carolina and some of them in the South, North Carolina, South Carolina. When they do certain things at the state level because of what they did in the past, trying to block blacks from voting or whatever else, they had any types of change they had to make, they had to get it approved from the federal government.
Oh, that was to keep us from having the voter ID.
No, this was in place a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a law that was put into place back in the 50s when integration was taking place.
Right, that's when it all started.
This is the law that E.A. Holder used to block our voter ID, where they had to have, the feds had to have someone sitting in to make sure we did our voting correctly, that we weren't prejudicial in our voting at our polls. I know what you're talking about.
It's not the same for every state. It's just some states get this scrutiny.
Yeah, and it was because of integration.
Right.
And it was these states got the particular states they scrutinized this year were the states that passed voter ID laws.
Right. Right. Go ahead.
But yet, if you want to get cash a check or get a Social Security money, you have to have picture ID.
Exactly.
But Holder,
anything else you have to do out there? These same people who are saying they can't vote. Well, I guarantee you they. I don't know how many, but I would be willing to bet a substantial percentage of them are able to buy alcohol.
Well, that's what I mean, and it's mind-boggling to think the EA Holder, the head of whatever the hell department he's the head of, would have the balls and the gumption to accuse us of being prejudicial. Then if that's the case, the Social Security Department is prejudicial. If that's the case, the banks are prejudicial.
Right.
Because you have to have ID to open up an account or to get your Social Security.
Well, look at everything they make you go through to open a checking account and all to do with the Patriot Act and everything else. You know, it's unbelievable. But yet, voting, something that should be sacred, they'll trash it in a heartbeat.
Well, that's because they want the illegals, like I've said before, you know, they're worried about giving all these illegals all these rights and everything. Well, I didn't know an illegal could vote.
Exactly. Like, okay, let's support the antis. And when I say not all illegals are antis, but those who refuse to in any way embrace the American culture, to speak English, who actually want to be Americans instead of being something else, they're not going to support anybody who believes in the Constitution anyway, but these idiots don't seem to figure that out.
Well, they did.
Americans, I'm not going to vote for you.
They did a poll, and they found out that over 65% of illegal immigrants with this amnesty thing they're talking about doing, over 65% of them don't want to become citizens any damn way.
And it's truly, this is the other part that's hard to get people to understand. It's really not to their benefit to do it when they get so many free benefits being illegal. And, of course, because we keep letting them vote when they're not really allowed to, so they even get to a vote when they're not allowed to. But the thing is, when they don't have, you know, they can work for less money when they don't have to pay taxes. And since they get free health care anytime anything happens, we pay for all that too. It's not a matter of them paying for health care. So look, look how much they benefit by getting paid under the table with no taxes, no other kind of liability associated to it, and everything else. It's to their benefit to continue that way, and it's to the benefit of the corporations who keep exploiting their labor. which goes back into the mentality, the hypocrisy of the Democrats who believe or pretend to care for the working class, when in fact all they do is help exploit these people even more. Illegal immigration only exploits these people. So those
who
pretend,
and
you're
the
best
thing they have to realize is the president of Mexico doesn't want them to come over here and become citizens.
No, because they want them to keep sending the money back there.
Exactly. Because they send 90% of what they make here back to Mexico.
Yeah.
That's why they live 15 in a house. That's why they come over here and have 16, maybe 16 years in a row.
So, and again, you got to keep asking, you know, this isn't rocket science. So what is it with these morons that are in public office and those two houses of Congress plus at the state level? What is it with these people? I mean, if you truly believe in communism and you ran as a communist or you ran as a socialist saying you didn't believe in freedom, you don't believe in the free market, and you ran for the other and you got elected, then fine, because obviously that's what people wanted you to do. But they go out there and they pretend to believe in this Constitution, yet as soon as they get in there, they trash it and gut it every which way because of the fact they truly have no moral values. The hypocrisy that has set in, that has become a cancer in this whole society. It's, you know, forget Al-Qaeda. It's not Al-Qaeda that's killing us. It's the people from within who have lost any kind of sense of moral compass, moral values, and they'll sell their grandmother for a dime.
Well, do you think your niece is still listening out there?
Well, she was a little bit under the weather today. She, I guess, a little bit of probably too much partying over the weekend and stuff. But since this is out there in the archives, if we want to sing it at this point, since we're getting towards the end, I'll just let her know that it's at the very end and she can fast forward through it to listen to it, or she can listen to the whole show, of course.
Well,
so are you ready to sing Happy Birthday?
Oh, I'm ready.
Her
On
name
the count
is
of
Brooke.
Three.
Okay, just so you know, her name is Brooke, and she's she just turned 17.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Dear Brooke.
Dear Brooke. Happy
birthday,
to you.
To you and many more.
Well, she's going to know about this. You kept stopping. I kept going on. You kept stopping.
You kept stopping, and I kept going on.
Well, hey.
Like it was planned anyway.
Yes. Happy birthday, Brooke. Many, many more to come, as Mia's Texas was just saying. And sooner or later, Mia's Texas is going to get down here to Florida, or we're going to get over to Texas, and we're going to meet this lady.
That a threat or a promise, woman?
Both. It's both. Well, okay, on that note, there's some other things here, but I don't want to go, I want to kind of leave it on a friendly note to keep it pleasant for my niece as she might listen to this part. And it's like, I'll say another joke. She got her driver's license last year. She's 17. And I'll tell her this on the air because she'll get a, she already knows it, but she'll get a little bit of a joke out of it. I'm sorry, Brooke, but I cannot buy you a Sunpass for your car. And I'm sure you know why. It's been quite funny with me and not believing in the toll roads and all the various things when I have gone over to my brother's house over in Tampa, and he uses the toll roads. We get into discussions about it. He doesn't necessarily agree with them, but he's not willing to surrender, you know, sacrifice. He's not willing to sacrifice to do anything about it. So as we're driving on a toll road, I'm not driving on it, but I'm in the vehicle. We get near a toll road, and I have a toll booth. I have to hide, and I have convulsions, and I have all sorts of side effects when I get near a toll booth, so it's kind of funny. So just understand, Brooke, I cannot buy you a sun pass. You'll have to get that from somewhere else. I'm sure Mom or Dad will get that for you, but can't be Aunt Sally.
And if she did, I'd come down and cut 10 fingers off.
Yeah, make sure. Now, did you hear that, Brooke? And now, just so you know, Brooke, Ms. Texas comes from the next toll road state called Texas. We're out there selling all the roads off to everybody.
Yeah, and there's two of us in this world, Brooke, so that means we're not both crazy.
It's not just Aunt Sally. Well, that's too funny. And she, trust me, she will get a kick out of that. Okay, well, we're getting down to 5 minutes here. Any other words of wisdom you have for my niece?
Well, if you just turned 17, you had no business being out getting drunk over the weekend. I hope you learned a lesson.
She was out, No, she did not get drunk. She was just out partying, and they were out shopping all day and just, you know, hanging out and stuff.
Oh, hanging out too much. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just remember what a good girl you were at 17 and do the same thing when you turn 18. Happy birthday.
That's exactly it. She is quite smart. She's not going to do anything stupid like that. So that part is excellent. And she's a pretty good softball player, too. Got some shots of her sliding into home base and stuff. So I'll have to show you those one of these days. And the other part, of course, what we both believe and know, while she's 17 and may not totally appreciate some of the things that I've been saying in reference to this country, please understand it's being done for you. You and your friends, especially when you get into college and stuff, you better really be studying that Constitution. You should be studying it now and know what your rights are. Do not depend on anyone else to teach you what your rights are. You better learn them for yourself. Because you are the one who's going to inherit this country. So what we're doing truly is for you.
Auntie Sally, you know what you can give her for Christmas? For her birthday, a handbook of the Constitution.
I could do that. I think I've given her a couple of the small ones already in the past. And I have given some different things about the original intent of the Constitution. So I have been working on some of that. I did that the last two Christmases where I gave those types of things to everybody in my family while giving them some fun stuff, too.
So, oh, why didn't I know that?
I just don't know. Let's see. The other thing, I want my niece to make sure she remembers this. Look it up on the Internet and make sure you take it to school one day. Excuse me. The American's Creed. It's something that you probably never heard in school, so I'm going to read it real quickly here. It's The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That is something you need to know, and make sure you take that to school and share that with your classmates. And I think that's going to about wrap it up. One last time, happy birthday, Brooke. And thank you so much, Granny, as always. It's always fun to have you on the show. And Charlie, thank you. He's already dropped off, but I'm sure he's listening. And on that note, please tune in to the show on Thursday, and please be Americans. Be united as Americans. United we will stand. Divided, we do not have a hope or a prayer. We have to be united. Please, please be united. And on that note, thank you. God bless America. Good night, everyone.